Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a gift card, $50 gift card to Paisanos. Black Friday is not just for big box chaos. Paisanos is dropping their own deal. Use promo code BLACK50 and get 50% off all pizzas all weekend long. This Friday through Sunday, Paisanos. Show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Mirage.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Each and every day, right now at 4 o'clock, we jam a few of your favorite teams into one segment. Get you the lay of the land in D.C. sports. We call it our Beltway Blitz. We're covering the NFL and the Commanders on deck and in the hole. Let's get it started. Kevin Sheehan, you know him from the Kevin Sheehan Show on our sister station, the Team 980. Kevin, thank you for a few minutes. Let's start with Jaden Daniels' return to play. He's practicing. He won't go Sunday against Denver. When do you think we see him?
Minnesota. I mean, I'm hoping we see him against Minnesota. I hope he's cleared and he's 100% and he's healthy and he's back to himself. And it would be great if it coincided with the return of Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown, and they had, you know, all of their guns that they anticipated having out there, and they haven't had since, what, the opener? I'd like to see that. I know a lot of people feel differently, but I think that they want to see it as well, and I think we will a week from Sunday in Minneapolis. What do you guys think? Do you think it's Minnesota?
That's our best guess.
I did. That was my assumption as soon as I heard he was practicing, but Quinn's been so vague. Then Daniels' comments today where he's like, hey, when I'm out there and I'm healthy, I'll want to play. Nobody's really suggesting that that's a lock at this point.
Right.
For the rest of the season sample, whenever he does play, Kevin, how are you viewing it? How are you grading it? Like, how much weight do you put on it? Is it September call-up baseball territory for you, or are you putting a lot of gravity on it for who you want back, et cetera? How are you going to view this stretch that they've all been mathematically eliminated?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it's not preseason. It's not September call-up. There are only 17 of these, you know, all the people that want him shut down, it would almost be unprecedented, right? Like, this isn't a Stephen Strasburg situation. He's not coming off Tommy John and he's got a limit. If he's completely healthy, what completely healthy starting franchise quarterback gets shut down in late November, early or mid-December? Maybe the final game of the year and you start Josh Johnson. But in terms of the evaluation, you know, there is some truth to when you're not playing for something, is it different? Maybe, but not to the extent of you can't truly evaluate a player. The limited number of games, the motivation sometimes of the opponent, I think we're going to be able to get a good read on it. I think the biggest issue is just going to be, what do they have out on the field around him on offense? What does the defense look like? Because this is truly, along with Cincinnati, it's just a horrendous defensive football team. And that obviously skews what's going on in the game if you get behind early, et cetera. But I don't know how I'll feel, Danny, after these games. But I want to see my starting quarterback out there in his second season. I don't want it to end after 5.5 games in late October, early November.
Yeah, here, here. You mentioned what's around him matters. Well, Noah Brown, Terry McLaurin on the right trend here. I mean, we could be looking at a Minnesota game, a stretch run without more injuries, where he's got his entire line, all of his backs but Eckler. You know, the receiver room's intact with the big three, and he's got all his tight ends. I mean, at that point, why not? And also, I wonder, I mean, you're playing Minnesota, which is a tough defense, the Eagles twice, yep, very good defensively. Like, what happens if they have everybody except for Eckler, some very normal NFL injury situation, and they really struggle down the stretch, or it looks the same? Will there be questions about the offense and Kliff or whatever going into the offseason for you?
Well, we know that there will be among the fans. To me, you know, there's just going to be a lot of context around it. I don't know how I'm going to feel. You know, if the performance is obviously terrible from him and he's missing receivers and he's not processing quickly and he's not protecting himself and it just looks terrible, that's different from him going out, the offense looking pretty good, but because the defense can't get off the field and the other team is scoring 8 at a time, you know, you're in drop-back mode the entire game. So I think we'll have to wait till we get there, but I know that the opportunity exists for those people who think that he's regressed and Kliff is no good, for them to pounce on this if it doesn't look like it did last year. And by the way, I think I'd be surprised if it looked like it did last year. It's not the same team. They've barely played with each other. They haven't played with each other at all since the opener in September, and their defense is even worse than it was last year. So I think each of these games is going to be interesting to see, you know, what they look like, and I can't predict how I'm going to feel afterwards. But I will say this, Grant, my expectation is he'll play well, and that the offense will look like a presentable upper tier offensive football team when it's out there, because the last time there was any semblance of health and a reasonable amount of people on the field, even though Terry wasn't, was that Charger game, and they looked great and he looked great. And the defense, because they weren't getting run over by a team that was, you know, hurt along their offensive line, the game was a real game. So my expectation is if we get everybody out there, it'll look pretty good.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Appreciate you, pal. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Our guy Eric at home, NFL Media. Eric, what did we learn this weekend about maybe some of the better teams in the National Football League?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of a, you know, depending on who you were looking at, right? I mean, you know, the Bills obviously lost, and we're kind of putting them in the second or third tier, whatever, however deep you run these things. Patriots won, but not that impressively. Lions had to really fight. I mean, you know, I just look big picture, and other than the Rams and maybe a few other teams that have that fear factor to them, there just isn't anybody that you say, okay, this is an obvious Super Bowl candidate, or this is a team that can really kind of, you know, flex its muscles in January a little bit. Maybe if the Packers get their offense going, if they get their receivers back, but you know, I'm still not fully believing in the Seahawks as a title contender yet. And I don't know. I mean, Chiefs saved their season, Colts go in the other direction. There's a lot of confusion now this time of year.
The Bills and the Chiefs, as of right now, are the 7 and the 10 seeds in a 7-team field, right?
Yeah.
But there's a chance that they both get in. In fact, I think most people expect it. And then they would go on the road maybe as wild card teams in the first round. So they'd be at, let's say, something like Denver and Indianapolis or whatever. I say all this to ask you, if I was to give you right now Buffalo and Kansas City or the field in the AFC, which would you take?
Oh, man, that's hard because, you know, it's not like we're putting pretty much everybody else in the field, you know, obviously depending on who's going to be there, are either a quote-unquote new team, like a new contender, somebody that we haven't seen the last 3, 4, 5 seasons, whatever, Or in the case of the Ravens, they're a different version of themselves, right? Until Lamar starts kind of playing up to his normal standards again. So, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, you trust the Colts a lot more than you do now, right? Broncos, I think, are a really interesting team that have somewhat of a championship formula. That defense certainly helps, but, you know, they sometimes go three quarters without doing much offensively. So, man, even knowing that both those teams could miss the playoffs, I'm sort of tempted to take the Chiefs-Bills combo while admitting that, you know, they both have their flaws. Right now, I'd say I trust the Chiefs a little bit more. I know it's almost an every week thing where you have to reassess the question, but the Bills just have a lot going on that I worry about. Offensive line suddenly is an issue. Josh is suddenly holding on to the ball. The receivers aren't uncovering. The defense has its limitations. Whereas with Kansas City, even as ugly as it can be sometimes, you know, they still have their merits in all three phases, I think. So, you know, even with Buffalo beating them head-to-head, I might just sort of take the Chiefs. But, yeah, that's a great question just because the field looks so, I don't know, out of whack right now.
Two doors for the Eagles. Door number one is this is like 2 years ago where there's so much discord, something ain't right, they were getting away with it, and then they come kind of crashing down, even though they won 11 games, but they lost in the first round
sure.
of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or is it like last year where somehow they thrive on all that discord, rip off a whole bunch of wins, going to win the Super Bowl at 14-3? Which door are you opening for this Eagles team?
Yeah, the thing about the Eagles last year was that they seemed to kind of get their bad games out of their system early, right? They kind of learned from their lessons a little bit. Not to say that, you know, Carolina didn't test them late in the year and there were a couple other games, but for the most part, they were scoring 25, 30 points a game on offense. They were keeping teams, for the most part, under 20, except for that Washington game that comes to mind, but the first one. But yeah, no, it just has like a different feel to it, more like the 2023 season. Now, that's not to say that they can't, you know, crank it up, but just the offensive identity right now is such an issue. It doesn't feel like Jalen Hurts can command an offense that isn't firing on all cylinders elsewhere. The other 10 guys dominating, you know, Lane Johnson's out. Saquon Barkley looks like a guy who carried it 500 times last year. We know about the AJ saga that's been going on. I don't know, man. I mean, like that for all the people who were right last, you know, saying it going into last week, saying at some point the offense is going to cost them a game, and it did, and the defense couldn't bail them out. That worries me too. They're not so good defensively that they can keep having these, you know, C-minus D+ games offensively and get away with it.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com, NFL Media. We appreciate you as always. Thank you.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving, guys. See you.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving. Great having you on the show. Let's keep the Blitz conversation going. Our buddy Bill Jacory Kroski Merritt is with us on Grant and Danny here on the Beltway Blitz. And Bill, happy Thanksgiving, man. Couple of days out. Yeah, you're gonna be sitting down to eat all your turkey. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. What's on the plate? What's your go-to for Thanksgiving? What are you normally eating?
Definitely ham, for sure. Ham and dressing. That's my favorite. What about you?
I'm a mashed potatoes guy. Got to pummel
mashed
some potatoes.
Okay.
So you're a Southern guy, okay. So dressing to you is stuffing to the rest of us, right?
I love dressing.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Do you do like bread and sausage, or like what's the dressing game for you like?
Oh, yeah, bread.
You got to go sausage in the stuffing, right?
I'm not sure what's in it, for real.
Yeah, you just eat it. I know.
I just know dressing is my favorite.
You just know when to sit down and eat the meal.
Yeah, my Southern grandmother from Alabama would call it dressing, and I'm like on salad? She goes, no, the dressing that goes inside the turkey. I love it, dude.
Some people do it different. Some people make theirs different.
Mm-hmm.
How does this work for you guys? I mean, you're in the middle of a work week. Do you leave the facility and everybody goes to different position players' houses, or are you just getting together with buddies, and can you eat as much as you want, and then the next day on the practice field, are you feeling it? What's it like during the season?
Yeah, I think everybody just go to their loved one house, and if you don't have loved ones down here like me, you probably can go to one of your coaches' house and like just sit down with them and their family. But I don't know. Me personally, I think I can eat eat a lot and like and still be fine the next day. Like, but some people might be different. They probably can't eat that much on Thanksgiving because like it might carry on the next day. But I think I'll be able to eat much as I want.
That's the beauty of young person, you know, right being there. Young. No yeah. food hangover for you.
How was the bye week, man? What did you get up to?
The bye week was good. I went back home to chill with family. It was good to just be around them and just chill. And I also did a turkey giveaway. Gave away 1,000+ turkeys, produce, and
amazing.
It was good just being back home and seeing family and stuff.
Good for you. What's the key for you? Do you think in this stretch run, you've gone through really your first grind of a month or so here in the NFL, where most games it's been around 2.5-3 yards per carry, really since the big breakout against the Chargers. For you, what do you think's the key to getting back on track and really hitting some big runs?
Just keep doing me. Just letting it come to me and like not trying to force it. Just letting the game come to me and I think I'll be fine. That's the main thing.
Is that hard to do? Do you sometimes, like if you got 7-8 carries and it's 15 to 20 yards or whatever, sometimes do you find yourself like trying to do a little too much and have to remind yourself, hey, let's slow our roll here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you're trying to make a play. But that's just gonna lead to you missing up on an assignment or missing a read because you're trying to force it. So that's something I had to learn. And it's like, Just continue to trust your read. So,
this Denver defense you guys are playing this week is really, really good. What have you seen from them, and what do you guys have to do to try to counteract it?
Definitely a good defense, a good team overall. So, so I feel like we just gotta execute and not hurt ourselves. So, I feel like that'll be a key to winning this game.
Ja'Cory, you guys are going to be getting Jaden Daniels back, it sounds like, according to Dan Quinn, back on the practice field. He will be coming back this season. What's that going to do just for the morale in the locker room for you guys to see your starting quarterback back out there?
It's going to be good to see him be able to get back out there. He's a competitor and wants to be out there. So it's going to be good just to have him back on the field with the guys. Looking forward to it.
Bill, always looking forward to catching up with you, buddy, every Tuesday. It's a lot of fun all year long, man. Good luck this weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Nah, thank you.
There's Bill, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan as part of our Beltway Blitz on this Tuesday afternoon. Next, I want to get into the reaction to Kevin Stefanski's post-game congratulations to Shedeur Sanders in the locker room after his first start and first win. That's next on G&D.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Got two tight ends blocking on the outside. He's got room. He bursts inside Raiders territory. One man to beat. He won't be caught. Touchdown, Sampson. 66 yards.
That was the first touchdown in the career of Shedeur Sanders. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Sanders starts and gets a win for the Cleveland Browns in his first ever outing as the QB1. He has since been named their starter for this coming week against San Francisco. 49ers, who just beat the Panthers last night, going to be a level up in competition after playing the 2-9 Raiders on the road. But you got to give Shedeur Sanders credit. After a week in which it was really, really rough, 4-for-16, taking over at halftime against the Baltimore Ravens and struggling big time, he comes out, just 11 of 20 passing, 209 yards, touchdown, and a pick. That touchdown, his lone touchdown of the game, was like on a screen right around the line of scrimmage that went 60-plus yards, 66 to the house from Sampson. But he made, not even that one, he made two really, really nice throws in this game that were like, huh, that's pretty good. He made a deep ball throw when he got away from a zero blitz out of the pocket. And I thought in college, the thing he did best was his big arm, like throwing way down the field at Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of off his back foot, off balance a little bit. Chucks the ball 55 or whatever yards it was in the air.
It reminded me of the Daniels play against Cleveland last year, honestly.
Similar play.
Where he escaped out to the right and played. You go, how the hell did he get out of that? Oh, my God, look where that one's going. Now, it was to Isaiah Bond, I believe.
It was.
And that guy was tackled goal to go. So that could have been his touchdown, and the screen pass could have been a normal thing. So, but, yeah, I mean, it was, you go, okay, that was pretty legit. That's a great play.
52-yard completion, yeah. That's a plus big boy play. That was the highlight of the day. He had another nice layered throw onto the second level that went for 39 yards, catch and run to Jerry Jeudy.
Who got ambushed on a fumble.
It was probably like a 25-yard throw, but he kind of, again, escapes the pocket, buys some time, makes a throw to a wide-open guy. But it was the work he did to get there is kind of the win, I think, for Shedeur on the play. So those were the super impressive plays. Mostly, I think that the good stuff was fairly subtle. He was only sacked one time. I didn't see a bunch like in the Ravens game where like he didn't get a protection right or he was getting teed off on by linebackers. So I thought there was a lot to build on for him. It was pretty good overall. But it was, 11 completions in a game where they ran it close to 30 times, all purpose, and their defense had 10 sacks. And that was kind of the story, was a suffocating defensive-led win for the Browns. So I say all that to say that after the game, Kevin Stefanski addressed the team. So, Darius, do you have the whole thing or just the Shedeur part? What do we have from Stefanski here in the locker room?
So this is the whole thing, but we can stop it shortly after.
No, that's fine. Part. So this is the audio that people largely have taken issue with, where he does not give Shedeur Sanders a game ball, and he says, good job, Shedeur. But it's being taken as if he didn't mean it or he didn't say enough or his good job wasn't enough. And this is why I don't do celebrity quarterbacks. Certainly in the fifth round that are fringe backups so far this season. But here we are. So this is the big debate now is, Did Kevin Stefanski slight Shedeur Sanders after the game? This was his address to the Browns.
Stayed resilient together like I told you we needed to, right? Stay resilient together, and we fought together. How about Gage's big punt return on special teams? How about Corey, every single time you're out there pinning those guys doing your job? Great call. Offense wasn't perfect. How about that big play by Sam at the end? Huge play. Huge play. Harold making a big play. And then another rookie making his first start. Nice job, Shedeur. Well done. There's that old saying.
So he goes on to talk about other things. So here is what is true. When he says well done, he is less loud than he is for much of the rest of the time. I think it's because Shedeur Sanders is in the front, literally 4 feet from him, and he's like looking over at him going, nice job, well done. Whereas you're yelling around the locker room, you're talking to 50 guys. It just so happens Shedeur is right up front, one of the closest guys to him. So the volume does go down a little bit, and if you're looking for something to be bothered by, I guess you could say he's less excited to congratulate and thank Shedeur Sanders for his efforts than he was other players. Give me the few seconds leading up to that again.
Huge play. Harold making a big play. And then another rookie making his first start. Nice job, Shedeur. Well done.
I saw that and I thought, good moment for the Browns. Good for Shedeur Sanders to get love from his coach. Like, that was my takeaway, and I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah, because he goes on then to talk about the defense that did the crazy thing.
That's the other thing.
Right?
Like, well, let's say how this became a thing. It became a talking point nationally on shouty shows and in all kinds of, you know, the national big picture podcasts and in the football sphere that Kevin Stefanski, A, did not give Shedeur Sanders a game ball. How dare him. And B, like that he basically, his congratulations wasn't hearty enough. His good job wasn't meant or thorough. This is the guy, I remember, that set him up for failure, that has wanted to see him not succeed, that has screwed him over because they played the guy they drafted ahead of him over Shedeur, you know, all of these other stories that are out there. Now you play him. He plays fine. He's 11 of 20 for 209 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. It's not a great game. It's not a bad game. For a rookie starter, there's enough there to like that he gets another shot. The correct decision was made. He should absolutely start next week. But the story is, well, when you said good job, you didn't say it good enough. Again, like, this is where we are with this. When I say this is a lightning rod, this
we
is
wasted the good surprise on you.
It's one of the most polarizing guys, and it's not even his fault. I feel bad for the kid at this point. Shedeur's doing nothing. He's standing there in the locker room waiting for his coach to say good job. His coach says good job, he claps, and he's on to the next thing. There are times, we'll play another clip, where he brings some of the consternation on himself. This is not one of those times. It's just people trying to defend him. There's no defense needed. And
yeah, there's no slight here.
You're looking for something. You're trying to find a slight is basically what's happening. But I just found the reaction amazing. So we could have pulled other clips. This is the one we grabbed. This was a very obvious one that stood out. It's Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco,
okay,
who do a very popular show together, talking about Shedeur Sanders not getting a game ball.
So hold on, a guy making his first start, a guy that you didn't really want to start, a guy that you didn't even want in your organization.
Right, right.
And that's all he get. Great job.
He don't get no game ball? Nah, he don't get no game ball, Unc. That wasn't his pick. That's not what they want. They don't want him to succeed. You know that. No disrespect. The owner told you to himself. Even the head coach's guy is Dylan Gabriel. We all understand that. Listen, didn't Shedeur make history tonight?
Yes.
First Browns quarterback as a rookie to start and win after what?
I mean, you got to think about it, Ocho. They've had 42 starting quarterbacks since 1999.
Right.
No quarterback making his first start.
Yeah.
The last 17 have said, they didn't get it done.
Yeah. How many of them the 2-9 Raiders and had 10 sacks from their defenses, what I would ask. Again, 11 completions in the game. But, hey, a couple of big-time throws again. Congratulations, you win the football game. You deserve some credit for that. But the idea, and you heard it again there,
yep,
they don't want him to succeed. The coach of the Browns, whose job's on the line, want Shedeur Sanders to fail? The guy whose job is to coach up quarterbacks, and if your quarterbacks play poorly, it's a direct referendum on you as the play caller who's given up the play calling. The OC, the head coach, you've got a job because of what you did in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, because of what you've done over your career with quarterbacks. So who doesn't want him to succeed? The GM, who doesn't get to pick another quarterback probably? You know, who has screwed the quarterback thing up left, right, and center? The coach who's responsible for the play of the quarterbacks are rooting against Shedeur Sanders. They're also saying his guy is Dylan Gabriel, which is the other thing that's out there. Because Dylan Gabriel's gotten the reps, because Dylan Gabriel's gotten the first chance to start.
Uh-huh.
As if that shouldn't be the case when he's drafted higher. There's never, ever, ever been a time where a guy is drafted at that position behind another guy. Like Washington should have had an open competition with Griffin and Cousins. Give me a break. That's ridiculous.
The desperation to fit anything into this keyhole is so bizarre to me. I don't understand it. So, like, I used to not like Billy Packer, the color analyst, used to do NCAA tournament games. He would make a bit of analysis in the first 5 minutes in some way. They can't handle Arkansas's pressure, Jim. And then everything else that game had to fit into that narrative that he decided was the story of the game. Whether it was right or not, it just, that was the story, no matter what. And he's the guy that put his foot in his mouth talking about George Mason didn't belong, and you know the whole story. Not to dunk on Billy Packer, but that was the point. They're doing this, but in real time, about a football player. Everything has to fit into this narrative. They could have called a better play where he got 20 yards instead of 17. Right. They could have handed it off on second down instead of having him drop back. And it is so utterly bizarre to me.
Right.
Utterly bizarre. The idea, again, the most important part of this to me is Myles Garrett had three more sacks, which pairs nicely with his four-sack game and his five-sack game. A franchise record was established for sacks in a season 11 games into the bleeping year with, you know, whatever is it, 40% of the year left to go.
He has 18 sacks, and he's got, I think, 13 in his last four. And as you said, he became the all-time leader in the sack category with his performance, and he's the one guy that got the game ball.
And
on a day where the defense had 10 sacks.
The defense had 10 sacks. Myles Garrett is doing something that no one has ever done in this league before. Not just Cleveland Browns type stuff. A fifth rounder winning a game against the team that will pick first or second this year, saying, he deserves a game ball too. This is not participation trophy time. One player is doing something so unbelievably remarkable, everybody not talking about it is frankly being irresponsible. Like, it's unbelievable how bleeping good Myles Garrett is. And what he's doing is record setting. The fifth rounder, who actually played admirable, I think it's ridiculous he was a fifth rounder. I can't believe it, quite frankly. I would have taken him ahead of Dylan Gabriel 1,000 times before and would have done another 1,000 times. He's more talented and more interested in him as a prospect.
About football, he would have gone ahead of Dylan
Probably Gabriel. Would have. But the point of the dude's story is, this is nice. You say as much. You recognize it. That's awesome. But what we really need to talk about here in this room, men, is what the absurdity that we just saw from our defense that had 10 sacks and Myles Garrett on pace to shatter the record with a month left to play in this league.
Crazy.
That's the story. That's the game ball.
Had he not have acknowledged Shedeur Sanders, I would agree. Okay, man, that's a little petty.
Yeah, he's like rolling his eyes again. Good job, Shedeur.
He's clearly not your guy. He did the same thing. He's going around the room, pointing out a bunch of dudes that did some cool things, mm-hmm. and Shedeur, quarterbacking a team that got a first win, gets some love. This is not, you know, Kevin O'Connell rubbing the hair of J.J. McCarthy after his game-winning drive, after 4 weeks of an injury, you know, making the start and coming back after 3.5 quarters of being terrible to get up off the mat as this stinker quarterback. It's not the same thing. It was 11 completions for a bad offensive performance overall by a guy that got a win in his first start, deservedly. He made the plays that needed to be made. But if you watched the game, the story of the game was the Browns defense getting 10 sacks. Yeah. That was the story of the game. So he points out, hey, good job here, good job here, good job here. Shedeur, nice job. Congrats on your first win. Myles Garrett, game ball. How about that defense? But this is why the celebrity non-franchise quarterback thing is just untenable. I can't even have a post-game celebration with my team where I congratulate a guy without people telling me I didn't do it right. Go away. I mean, you can't coach with him, can't win with him.
Can't do it.
And it's not even Shador's fault. But I'm just not allowing that noise to creep in. But what do you guys think? Was his congratulations to Shador good enough? Was his well done to his quarterback? Did it suffice? Did it match the level of a normal congratulations? Or was it a problem? Was it evidence that he wants him to fail and he hates him? That he doesn't like Shador Sanders? Play the clip on the way out there. This is Grant and Danny, 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on the fan.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Wasn't perfect. How about that big play by Sam at the end? Yeah. 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 IB, huge play. Q, huge play. Harold making a big play. And then another rookie making his first start. Nice job, Shador. Well done. Woo.
That was Kevin Stefanski addressing the Browns after the game. It became a national storyline yesterday that he did not give his quarterback, Shador Sanders, a game ball in front of the team in the postgame locker room. By the way, I'd be surprised if Shador and other guys didn't get the game ball that gets given out a day later. Like, I one time was at a Cooley's house, and he had, if he had one, he must have had 30 game balls, like, on his wall. And several of them were, like, half footballs that are, like, on a plaque or something that are put up on his wall with underneath of them, like, what he got the game ball for. It's like 100 yards against this team or whatever. And again, there's dozens and dozens of these that he had. My point is, there's a difference between just throwing balls out after a game, which is like the big rah-rah thing that a lot of coaches do that we now get to see publicly, and then the number of guys a day or two later that might get game balls for something they did in the game after the tape study or based on a statistical analysis. So he might still get one. Hey, Shador, first win. Here you go. And hey, running back, who got your first 25-yard game? Right. You know, whatever. Boom.
Yeah, like every big league pitcher gets a game ball with what you did, like written in you know by an expert on there, right? Like as a commemorative thing.
The reason, though, I wanted to just hit what I think is a pretty silly topic, though, and just bring this up on the show is this is why, and I don't feel good saying it to, you know, about Shador Sanders in the sense that it's not his fault. You're a victim in what I'm about to say. This is why I'm out of the business. You have to be so good for me to deal with whatever this nonsense is, because everything's a thing with him. Every incompletion is a referendum and endorsement. Every game, he's the best or he's the worst. There's just so much noise. It's so loud. Everything is turned up so high that for me to want to deal with that celebrity and that whatever this is, you've got to be exceptional. And I don't think that's where we're headed.
Right.
And this is a fifth-round pick. Probably shouldn't have been. Maybe should have been a third or fourth-round pick, whatever. But this is a, you know, a guy that's going to hold on to the ball and take some sacks and hit some big throws but miss some things. And it's just, it's not going to be worth it for me to deal with whatever this is. There's a lot of guys like Shedeur Sanders that are on a lot of rosters. Nobody's talking about them all day, every day, being screwed, the coach not liking him. They should get more reps. It's just not a reality in any other building with any other guy who's drafted where he is, who's in that situation. But when you're Deion's kid, when you had the college career he did where you were on ESPN constantly and they were the ratings team that everybody wanted to see, this is where you are. So it's just why I'm good on, you know, I'll find another young quarterback to try to develop into whatever I think Shedeur.
Yeah, I mean, once he's not a first rounder, whether that's his fault or not, whatever you want to have that debate.
Sure.
Once we get out of there where this is my starter and I'm building around him, I need to not be in that business.
Let's go to Nathan in Arlington. What's up, Nathan? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate your time.
Got you, dude.
Hey, as a Browns fan for 32 years, I've seen all the ups and downs. We're probably going to have more starting quarterbacks than presidents in 1776. So that's up with that. I mean, with I heard the speech, and I thought it was fine. I it's just like if we keep, you know, really wanting an if everybody keeps wanting an attaboy from their boss is always going to get tired. I mean, what we should be talking about is that this is a historic pace that Myles Garrett is setting. He's been the reason I've been watching the Browns this season, and you know, it's not Shador's fault. He's doing the best he can. I don't see anything wrong with Stefanski congratulating him. I think you know, he's got a lot of room to grow, but I think Stefanski's doing his best. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I also feel like because one of the points I made was, you know, if the defense didn't have the 10 sacks and the game didn't play out that way, I guess if you're just saying, hey, congratulate him on his first game, I think he did that.
Yeah.
You played your first game. You got your first win, I guess is what he said.
The objection is that it wasn't a bigger production, didn't get the game ball, whatever.
If you went 30 of 37 for 329 and 3, I'll bet you it would have been a little bigger. They left a lot of things on the field all day on offense. They completed 11 passes in the game. Now, Shedeur made a couple of outstanding plays. I'm not trying to belittle the performance, but that's what it was. It was 11 completions in the game. I don't know if we're throwing a party for that in the National Football League. Let's go to Zeke in Southeast. What's up, Zeke?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Now, hey, buddy.
Danny Grant, you know, I'm a regular caller to your show, and this is the first time I have to absolutely disagree with you.
Love it.
First of all, because all the outside noise around Shedeur, he's never, ever said anything. It's all the outside noise. People like the news, the podcaster, they're the ones that polarizing. And even you, Danny, you're polarizing by saying, I wouldn't have him on my team. Not based on his ability.
Well, that was me. To be clear, that's me. That's Grant saying that.
Oh, Grant. Okay. Yeah. Based on the outside noise.
Right, but I said that. It's not based on him. It's based on the...
So why would you label it? Why would you label him like that then? Why would you
just let him go? I didn't label him like anything. He might be a great guy. The noise is too loud for what I believe the player is.
But what? Okay, the noise is loud, but none of the noise is coming from his camp. It's all outside noise.
I don't know if I'd say none of it, but most of it is not. No, I agree with you. But right. I wouldn't have Tim Tebow on my team. I said that for years. I wouldn't, you know, after the fact, Colin Kaepernick coming back to be a backup, as much as he would have been better than most of the guys in the league, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah. I don't do celebrity quarterbacks. I'm not having Tim Tebow in my locker room for CNN to come interview. It ain't happening.
I got you, but what makes him a celebrity? That's the thing. Let me give you one quick example, then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Like, right now, right, you got the Manning. He's a quarterback. He's coming in. He got the same kind of thing. He's going to be a celebrity.
Yep.
You wouldn't say, I'm not going to have him on my team. You just try to figure out a way to work around it.
Well, but here it is.
That's my difference.
I love the calls. I appreciate you making it, as always.
Let me say real quick to that, two things. One, if Arch Manning is the same talent as Shedeur Sanders, then I would say the same thing. if you're a starter, if I thought Shedeur Sanders was going to be a top half the league quarterback, I don't happen to believe that. But if I thought he was going to be a top 10 or top 15 guy, then I'll deal with it. If Patrick Mahomes is the biggest celebrity ever and a lightning rod and divisive, I'll live with that. It's okay because you're going to win me a lot of football games, number one. So if that's what the eval is on Arch Manning, and I haven't watched him enough, I have no idea what he's going to be. But if that was the evaluation, is the juice is not worth the squeeze, he's not that good, and everyone's going to have a take, then yes, I would not be that interested in him.
Yeah, I'm not doing third round Arch Manning. Like, if that's his grade, if that's where he ends up, or right, because all the hoopla, whether all he's trying to do is play football, to kind of come to the same point. No, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just doing the best he can. But as soon as that, it's a juice and squeeze type situation. As soon as you ramp up the production that may or may not be there, every question that comes into my team isn't about whether I won the game, lost the game, who played well, when do we see Arch Manning? Entertainment Tonight's there. We're live at Grant's facility wondering where Arch Manning is today. Who's his date to the team gala? I don't do any of that stuff. Like, I'm the same way as Grant, so I co-sign that. And none of that is Shador's fault, by
and
the way.
How many quarterbacks in the history of the league has it ever been a story after the game if the coach said, first start for fill in the blank, great job, man, way to go, congrats on your first win, and moved on? Have people taken issue with that? I guarantee you can't find me another example. I don't know how or why we got here, but this is like an Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing. This is like a divisive, polarizing, nobody can be reasonable. I don't know when it happened, but Shedeur Sanders, it's like people can't just watch the football game and say, oh, good throw, bad throw, good throw, bad throw. It's so much bigger. It's the coach hates him. The GM hates him. How dare them not play him? They're trying to screw him over. They want him out of the building. The team that drafted him, the people whose jobs are on the line based on how he plays, they all hate him. I just don't buy it. And the last thing I'll say is, while I think at about a 90% clip, Shedeur is a victim in the coverage that he gets from all of these people and all of this noise, as the caller was just saying, which I thought was very good. There are times where he brings some of the strife on himself. Like, you heard him post-game.
Yep.
Here was a comment he made in an interview with CBS post-game. After the game on Sunday, talking with, I don't know who the sideline reporter was.
Win is crazy. It's amazing, you know. Off of 1 week of practice, you know what I mean? This 1 week of practice. So imagine, you know, what a full offseason looked like. It get dangerous. But it's just a 1 week of practice. So I'm just truly thankful, you know, that everything happened.
So he's got a great smile. He's having fun, whatever. But, like, that's not a comment most quarterbacks are making, right? It's like, just wait.
Yeah, I was this great after only 1 week.
Yeah,
that's the implication
there. 15 completions next time, you know, after the 11 completions, like, I don't know, man. That style is going to rub some people in your locker room the wrong way after linemen are out there busting their butt for you and whatever. And, you know, you saw Rex Ryan have a big thing about after a win, it's got to be we. After a loss, it's got to be I. He'll learn some of those things. He'll get more mature. But I don't think he went in the fifth round and all the reports that came out from his meeting process are all lies.
Right.
I don't think teams that are all desperate for quarterbacks passed on a guy for four rounds because they thought he'd be amazing and they had a great experience with him in the pre-draft. But to me, more importantly, right now, he's got a big game coming up with San Fran, played well enough to get the start. This is an example of really everything is a thing.
Everything's a thing.
Every little thing that happens becomes some massive storyline because you've got a celebrity quarterback. And if the celebrity is elite, sure. If the celebrity, we're just trying to get to league average production, nah, I'm good. But we'll see. Maybe he's got a much bigger ceiling. He's certainly very confident, and I like that about him. He's going to need to be because there's a lot of people counting him out, as he pointed out after the game. 800-636-1067 is the number you want to hop in on Grant and Danny. We'll talk about our Thanksgiving Day food draft, which is coming up at 3 p.m. tomorrow next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.